We continue our learning. We are in Ksuvos, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. Our Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah. We're dealing with an almana who collected part of her Ksuva. And we want to know, when she's now selling the Nechasim of the Yerusha in order to collect the remainder of the Ksuva, what's the halacha? Does she have to sell in Beis Din? Could she sell even outside of Beis Din? We'll see, based on we had these opinions in the previous Mishnah. According to Rabbi Shimon, she has to sell in Beis Din. According to the Chachamim, she can sell even outside of Beis Din. Says the Mishnah like this: Bachar Ksuva, so you have an almana who sold her Iker Ksuva. Already, the 100 zuz, the 200 zuz, but she still has to collect the Tosefes Ksuva. Or Miktsasa, or let's say she just sold part of her Ksuva, and she has to collect the remainder. Mishkana Ksuva Sa O Miktsasa, let's say she gave her Ksuva already, or part of the Ksuva as a mashkon, as a collateral. Nasta Ksuva Sa La Acher O Miktsasa, or let's say she gave her Ksuva, or her whole Ksuva, or part of the Ksuva, or a significant part of the Ksuva rather, or half of it, to someone else as a gift. Now she wants to collect the remainder. And in order to collect the remainder, she needs to sell some part of the property of her deceased husband. Lo timkor es hasha'ar ela be'beis din. She can only sell from the Nichsei Yerusha to collect the rest of the ksuva. The tosefes, or what's left over of the ikur ksuva, must be done in Beis Din. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say this, but the Gemara explains this is Rabbi Shimon's opinion from the previous Mishnah, who holds that an almana who's collected already part of her ksuva, she has no mazonos. If she's already collected part of the ksuva, she's not entitled to any mazonos. And therefore, if she has no mazonos, and she's only selling for the purposes of collecting the ksuva, it must be done by Beis Din. If you're selling for mazonos purposes, that can be done outside of Beis Din. V'chachamim omrim, mocheres hi afilu arba v'chamisha pa'amim. The alman is allowed to sell even 4 or 5 times, which means she can sell from the nechasim of the Yerusha as many times as she likes, a little bit at a time, collect a little bit of her ksuva each and every time, and guess what? Umocheres lemizono shelo be'beis din. And until she's collected the entire ksuva, during that time, in the meanwhile, she can be selling parts of the Yerusha as well for mizonos, for food purposes. And she can do that outside of Beis Din, because the Chachamim hold that even if she's collected part of the ksuva, she still has mizonos. And therefore, she can sell, even for the ksuva purposes, outside of Beis Din. Vikoseves, but she should write in the shtar mechira, when she's selling the estate, part of the property, for the collection of her ksuva or the mezonos, limezonos macharti. She should write, the Gemara explains that this is really an Eitz HaTovah. This is just a good suggestion for the almana, that she should write, elu limezonos macharti, this part of the estate I sold for the for mezonos, for food, velu ksuva macharti, and this is what I sold for the purposes of a ksuva. Why should that be true? So people know that when she's selling from the estate for these purposes, if they don't know otherwise, they may say, ah, she's selling all of this land just for food. My gosh, she's a Rav Sonis. She's always hungry. She eats a lot of food. No one's going to want to marry her. So this way, everyone will know, no, this part of the estate was sold for the purposes of collecting a ksuva. And this part was for Mizono. So she's not selling that much. She's not buying that much food. Ugrusha, the Mishnah concludes, lo timkor ela be'beis din. A grusha, though, a divorced woman who's selling, a divorced woman as well as an almana, is allowed to sell from the estate for the purposes of collecting the ksuva. But a grusha must do this in Beis Din. Why? Because that which we learned in the previous Mishnah, and I quote, almana bein hamana erisin bein menanesuin mocheh shalo be'beis din, whether according to the Chacham of the almana, whether it's from erisin or nesuin, she can sell outside of Beis Din, which we said, that's true even for the collection of a ksuva. That's only by an almana. As we said there, we said, eino dem roshet shizbaz Ishto bevestin. A husband doesn't want his wife to have to embarrass herself, humiliate herself by going to Beis Din and selling the estate. So that's true of an almana, and that's why we let her sell outside of Beis Din. But a grusha, the Chachamim agree, they admit she can only sell in Beis Din. Why? Since the husband divorced her, he doesn't have the same concern about her kavod, and he doesn't care if she's going to have to go to Beis Din, and therefore we demand that she come to Beis Din. Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Dalid. The Mishnah here is coming to teach us the almana, as she sells the Nichsei Yerusha outside of Beis Din for the purposes of her ksuva. That's That's the previous Mishnah. Our Mishnah is telling us that the Almana who's selling the Nechse Yerusha almost has the din of a Shaliach, as if she's the agent of the Yesomim. She is selling it on their behalf, because it is from their estate that she would have to collect the Ksuva. So she's like their Shaliach, and we'll see what practical application there is of her being their Shaliach. Almana Shahisa Ksuva Samasayim Umachra. So you have a case in Almana. She's a widow. Her Ksuva was 200, and she got married as a Basula, so that's a normal Iker Ksuva. Umracha, and she sold, let's say, a field from the estate to collect her ksuva, but it was shava manev masayim. But it was only, she sold a field that was only valued at 100, but she got 200 zuz for it. So now she got her full ksuva. Oh, shava masayim b'manev. Or let's say it's the other way. She sold a field that the sons gave her that's worth 200, and she only got 100 for it. So maybe she should be able to collect another 100 from them. Niskavla ksuva sa. In both of these cases, we say she's already collected the ksuva, nothing more to do, which means that the extra 100 zuz that she profited by selling, let's say in the case where the field was valued at 100, and somehow she got a good deal for 200, she can't say, no, that's my profit, and now I want another 100 zuz from you, she tells the Yisomim. No, the bottom line is she got a full ksuva, and that's all. That profit is theirs. And they don't have to pay another 100 to her. And let's say she sold a field that they gave to her that's worth 200. She only got 100 for it. That's too bad. That's her loss. The Yisomim will say, the orphans will say, we gave you a field worth 200. There's the Ksuba. You got a bad deal, only 100 to us. That's not our problem. Now, the Yisomim officially would be able to nullify a Mechira with a Taina with a claim of Ona'ah. Ona'ah is a fraud. Now, the fraud is, let's say someone is undercharged or overcharged. And generally speaking, we assume based on the fourth parak of Bava Metzia that more than a sixth of the value that's considered, or less than the value, we always look at 16.6%, that's considered Ona'ah. And the halacha is, if it's more than that amount, more than a sixth, the whole sale is null and void. So it should be, in this case, this woman is their shaliach. And the rule is that if the shaliach does now sell something and there's onah and gets a bad price for it, so the halacha is that the mishaleach, the ones who sent the shaliach, really have the right to claim that this was onah. They were defrauded, and the whole sale should be null and void. Now, that itself is a question, because why? Here we're dealing with selling land, and the rule is ain ona'ah lekarkos. There is, based on psukim, ona'ah doesn't apply to karka, it applies to metaltalin, but karka, we say location, location, location. Karka, there is no issue of ona'ah. There is a debate amongst the Rishonim. Let's say it's very significant. Let's say someone overcharged by double, so maybe there's, even by karka, we say there's ona'ah. So that's a machlokas. Some say, no, ain ona'ah lekarkos, it doesn't make a difference how much the person was overcharged. So that's all true in general. But if someone's sending a shaliach, and now that shaliach is defrauded, so even by karka, the mishaleach has the right to claim, no, this is a fraud, and the whole sale is null and void, unless, of course, they're willing to be mochel on it. In our case, though, there's nothing to talk about ona. Why? Since the Yisomim, not coming to the mevatel the mechira. On the contrary, they don't end up losing anything by the fact that she sold a field that was worth 200 only for 100. That's our problem. So they're not going to claim ona because they don't lose out on anything. Then the Mishnah says, "Haisa ksuva sa mane umacha shave mane v'dinar bimane." Here's a case where, let's say, her ksuva was 100 zuz, and she now sells a field that was worth 101 zuz, and she sold it for a money. She only sold it for 100 zuz. So she should have gotten 101, and she only got 100. Says the Mishnah, Michra Batel. That she doesn't have the right to, she has the right to sell a field to get 100 zuz for her ksuva. She sold a field worth 101. You shouldn't be selling a field worth 101. And now you only got 100. So we say that mecher is batuli. So them can tie ona. Now this ona is a problem for them. They end up, because she ended up selling extra of the nechasim that she should not have sold. They tie ona, and the whole their mecher is therefore batel. Afilu hi omeres achzir dinali Yarshim Nimshi says, no, I'll pay you the extra dinar that I lost out on you on the sale. Doesn't matter. Mechra batel, unless, of course, the Yarshim are okay with the mecher. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer La'ola Michra Kayam. According to him, not the Mecher is Kayam. There's no dino na, and she'll just give that extra dino to the Yarshim. Ad shetehei. How much does the ona have to be? Ad shetehei shum kadesha tishayer besade bas tisha kabin. We're gonna go through different types of land, of karka. First we deal with the field. A field, what's considered real ona? Where the ona, had it not been for the ona, there would have been an extra, there would have been a field that could grow 9 kav of something, of wheat, let's say, which is an area of 3,750 square amos. That's the shear of a sadeh. Uvigina, a ginas yarek, a vegetable garden, how much has to be left? Bas chatzi kav, an area that whose measure is able to grow a half a kav of zraim, of plants, of wheat, let's say, 208 and a third square amos. That's the shear of a gina, of a garden. Uchidivir, Rabbi Akiva, how much has to be left? Beis Rovan, area whose measure is able to grow a quarter of a kav of plants, of crops, of wheat, let's say 104 and a sixth a square amos. In such a case, the mecher is batel, which means, right, if you there, the ona does not have a hefsed, a loss of a full sadeh or a full gina to the yesomim, so then the mecher is kayim. Only when the ona is significant, that they lose out on a sadeh worth, a chatzi kav worth, a base rova worth, according, depending on these opinions, or we're talking about a tisha kav, and if it's a sadeh, if it's a gina, a half a kav, according to Rabbi Akiva, a base rova, so if not, so then the mecher is kayim. But if they lose out on this amount, this is giving out a full field worth, full kav worth, full base rova worth, so then that is ona, and the mecher will be batel. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. We don't follow him, we follow Tanakama. Even selling a field for 101 for 100, the mecher is batel. Let's say she had a ksuva that was 400 zuz. We had that in the first parak, the ksuva of Kohanim, of a woman marrying a Kohen, marrying a Kohen. The ksuva of Besula was marrying in a Kohen family. The ksuva was 400. Umechra lazeh b'manev lazeh b'manev. What'd she do? She's selling from the nechasim of the Yerusha. And she, let's say, sold to three people. So this, she sold the field to Reuven for 100 zuz, and to Shimon for 100 zuz, and to Levi for 100 zuz. She's got 300 out of 400 already of her ksuva. So far, so good. Ula achron yafe mane v'dinar b'mane. Ah, but to the fourth one, she made this mistake as we had earlier in the Mishnah. She sold a field worth 101 for only 100. So what happens here? Do we say all the sales are batel, or only the last one? Says the Mishnah, shel achron batel, what she sold to the last person is batel, like the Tanakama held, that 101 for 100, but v'shel kula on the other sales, mechron kayam, because each mecher is considered a sale independently, and therefore if there's no onah, that mecher is going to be kayam.